The following is a recording of the Gretchen Wright teleconference with PR Solutions on Thursday, October 16th, 2014 at 12 o'clock p.m. Central. Excuse me, everyone. We now have our speakers in conference. Please be aware that all lines are in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given if you would like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the conference over to Gretchen Wright. Ms. Wright, please begin.
Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone, and welcome this morning. We will be taking questions at the end of the news conference, and the operator will come back on and give directions for how to ask a question so that we can open up your line. Questions will be taken only from the media. And I'd like to, with no further ado, introduce Jody Grant, who is the Executive Director of the After School Alliance.
Thank you, Gretchen. Good morning, everyone, from Los Angeles, California. And for those of you on the East Coast, good afternoon. I'm Jody, and that's J-O-D-I Grant, Executive Director of the After School Alliance. I want to thank you all for joining us as we release the 2014 edition of America After 3 p.m., the most comprehensive study ever to look at what America's children and youth are doing in the hours after school. This household survey, commissioned by the After School Alliance and conducted by Shugel Research, included more than 30,000 American households and in-depth interviews with more than 13,000 parents or guardians all across the country. The national results, as well as the data for every state and the District of Columbia, will be available momentarily on the After School Alliance website, and that's www.afterschoolalliance.org. And don't worry, we'll give it to you again. We are absolutely thrilled that Arnold Schwarzenegger is here with us to help release the study. As I'm sure most of you know, he's the former governor of California, the founder of the After School All-Stars, which the After School All-Stars serves nearly 100,000 middle school students in seven states, and he's the chair of the University of Southern California Schwarzenegger Institute. Governor Schwarzenegger was a driving force behind the California ballot measure that helped put after-school programs in every elementary and middle school in the state. And he's one of the country's greatest and most effective after-school champions. He will speak next. After Governor Schwarzenegger, we will have the privilege of hearing from Police Chief Frank L. Fowler of the Syracuse, New York Police Department. Chief Fowler is a powerful spokesperson for after-school. And as you will soon hear, he speaks eloquently to the need for after-school programs for all our young people, but especially for tweens and teens. Last but not least, my colleague, Jen Reinhart, Vice President of the After School Alliance and the lead researcher on America After 3 p.m., will help answer any questions from the media. Before I turn this over to Governor Schwarzenegger, I want to say a few things. For those of you who, like me, are parents, we know very well the importance of after-school programs in our lives. These programs keep our children safe, they inspire them to learn, and they provide invaluable help to working families. They are literally a lifeline for parents, and they give us peace of mind during the hours after school and before we get home from work. I first taught in an after-school program more than 25 years ago. This is my 10th year as Executive Director of the After School Alliance, and during my tenure, I've had the privilege of traveling around the country visiting after school programs, and I have been blown away by what I've seen. I've seen how students in after school programs expand their horizons, enhance their skills, discover their passions by programming computers, planting gardens, cleaning up parks and playgrounds, and so many other activities that prepare them for college, career, and life. Our new study, released right now, found that the number of children who have those opportunities who participate in after-school programs today has increased from 6.5 million in 2004 to 10.2 million today. This is wonderful news. But despite the increase, we found that the country is not coming close to meet that demand. For every child currently enrolled in an after-school program in the United States today, there are two more students who are not in a program whose parents would enroll their child if a program were available. This unmet need for after-school programs in the country today is 19.4 million students. 19.4 million. The need is greatest among low-income African-American and Hispanic families. Sadly, we also found that on any given day, 11.3 million students, including 800,000 elementary school students, are unsupervised in the afternoon. That's one in five children and youth in this country, and that is unacceptable. We can do better. We have to do better. Our new study found that parents value after-school programs for many reasons, including that they keep kids safe and out of trouble, because they offer opportunities for physical activity, and most important, because they offer incredible learning activities that are unavailable during the regular school day. 89% of parents with a child in after school say they're satisfied with the program. And very exciting, if you dig deeper into our data, you will see significant increases in the satisfaction parents have with the types of activities and learning that occur in their kids' after school programs. We've also found that summer learning programs are immensely popular and badly needed. More than 4 in 5 parents want to do more, and they favor public funding for after-school opportunities in communities that have few opportunities for children and youth. That support crosses all political parties and all geographic lines. This study is a call to action for all levels of government, for philanthropy, for businesses, for individuals in every sector to step up and do more to support high-quality after-school. An investment in after-school is an investment in our country. And with that, it's now my honor to turn to Governor Schwarzenegger to speak next. Governor?
Well, thank you very much, Jody, for that wonderful introduction and talking so eloquently about after-school programs. I've been involved for more than 20 years in after-school programs, and I got into this kind of by accident because I was the chairman of the President's Council on Physical Fitness under Bush 1 between 1990 and 1993. And I visited hundreds of schools in all 50 states. And many times when I was there at the school site, I saw the school being finished at the, and it was the end of school at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I saw the kids leaving the school, and many of them got picked up, but many of them were then drifting around. And I was always wondering what happens to those kids. And it was explained to me that those are kids that are just drifting around, that don't have parents, because a lot of kids come from homes where both of the parents are working and all that. And I started looking into that more and more, because I felt like there's something off here. And then when I did a little bit of research, I found out that there's a major problem, that there's so many kids in the United States that don't have adult supervision in the afternoon after the school closes and they lock the gates and all the kids go out. It's, you know, some of the kids get picked up from their parents and other kids don't. And that causes a lot of problems with juvenile crime and with teenage pregnancy, with gangs, with alcoholism, with drugs, and all those kind of things that cost society a lot of money. And so I started getting involved in an after-school program then here in Los Angeles called the Inner City Games with Danny Hernandez. But this was a program that was only done basically in the summer to keep the kids busy during the summer months when they were out of school. But I then worked and started creating my own after-school programs here in Los Angeles, and it very quickly spread throughout the United States and into 15 cities. And eventually I led an initiative here in California in 2002 to create $500 million more for after-school programs here in California. It was a proposition called Proposition 49, the After-School Education and Safety Act. And I campaigned all over the state of California and put a lot of my own money in, millions and millions of dollars, because that's what it costs here to be on television. But I was more than happy to do that because I felt very strongly about the need, for after-school programs, more after-school programs. And at that point, I knew we have done all the studies, which was done by the Rose Institute here in California at Claremont McKinney College. And they said that for every dollar we spend on after-school programs, you know, we save $3. And I think based on that, we got both of the parties to endorse the initiative. Democrats endorsed it because they always felt like that government should step in where the parents fall short, and they were pro-education and pro those kind of programs. But Republicans also jumped on board because they saw that there were tremendous savings, for local government, for the state. When you, spend a dollar on an after-school program, you save $3 down the line because kids don't get really into trouble when they are, part of after-school programs. And we have just seen recently again, when the Orlando police, made the statement that the 300 kids in Orlando that are going to after-school programs, that are attending after-school programs, none of them ever got involved in any crime or in any problems with the juvenile system at all. And so this just shows you that how effective those after-school programs are, not only in academic area, but also with the safety of the kids and also preventing those things from happening, the crimes and the alcoholism and gangs and all this problems. And so I became a fanatic about after-school programs, and I continued promoting it. Even during the time I was governor, I fought for after-school programs, and even though I discontinued my kind of position as the honorary chair of the After-School Alliance, but I'm back again in that position. And to me, it's a great pleasure to do that because when I was a kid growing up, I had all this. I had 24 hours a day someone there supporting me. I had mentors. I had coaches. I had my father coaching me in soccer. I had my mother there helping me with homework in the afternoon and answering questions that I had. And it made me be able to go to school more secure with myself and more confident so that I knew what we were learning. I could bring back the homework and feel proud about that. But those are the kind of things that those kids that don't have after-school programs or that don't have adult supervision because, 70% of the kids come from homes where both of the parents are working, so there's no one there for them in the afternoon. So this is what creates a big problem because there's no one there that helps them with their homework. There's no one there that helps them with the tutoring. And there's no one there that helps them with the sports programs, with fitness programs, or to just be there to mentor or to tell them that someone cares for them or loves them and all that. So all of this is done actually in after-school programs today. After-school programs are between 3 and 6 o'clock, which is the danger zone for our kids. And it offers the academic work. It offers the homework assistance and the tutoring. It offers also sports and fitness programs, which is kind of like, the thing that interests the kids most, but we offer that on the end when they've done all their academic work and their homework and tutoring and so on. A lot of kids in California, for instance, they come from homes where they speak, where English is a second language. It's like 30% of the homes for those kids, and they get an extra help with their language skills, so they speed up their learning of English, which helps them then with the academic work again. So there's a lot of great, great advantages there. So this is why I've been fighting for that. And then every time, of course, when I see the federal government or the state or anyone trying to cut after-school programs, we are as a force there. Just recently we went again to Washington and we found out that they want to, cut some of the 21st century grant money, the Community Learning Center Fund. And we went in there and we had meetings right away, bipartisan meetings with Harry Reid and with McCarthy. Reid had the meeting at the Senate, a bipartisan meeting with Democrats and Republicans, and McCarthy had his meetings hosted there again with Democrats and Republicans, and we saved that money. We saved, I think it was 1.1 billion dollars that we saved. And I think that it was very important that we, you know, that we on top of those kind of situations. And so anyway, this is my love. This is right along with being on a crusade for fitness and health and fitness amongst our youngsters, or being on a crusade for a clean environment. This is one of my, you know, crusades, is the after-school program crusade, because we got to, as you've heard from Jody very eloquently, we got to improve, we got to, you know, enlarge the organization, we got to have more programs in every state. California has the most after-school programs. We have 25% of the kids have after-school programs here, versus 18%, which is, I think, the national average. So we are always doing fundraising to create more after-school programs, because we are relying on federal money and state money, and also on the private sector and nonprofit money. So we're using all of this money, and we're doing it very effectively. So anyway, so that's all I have to say for right now. And if you have any questions about any of this, please feel free then to ask. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Governor Schwarzenegger, and I should echo that we are so honored to have you as our honorary chair of the After School Alliance, and your efforts have made it possible for millions and millions of students to attend after school programs. It's now my honor to introduce Police Chief Frank Fowler from Syracuse, New York. Chief Fowler.
Hi, good afternoon. Boy, next time put me in front of the governor if you don't mind. All right, it's a great pleasure for me to be with you all this afternoon. This report that the After School Alliance has released today is an important tool for all of us working to raise our young people to be successful adults. Perhaps the most important piece of the data is about the sheer number of young people who are not in after school programs because there isn't one available for them. 19.4 million across the nation, including more than 11.1 million in my home state of New York. It's startling to me that there are twice as many children out there in search of a program as there are children who found one. I've spent half of my life in law enforcement, and it's clear to me that the way to help young people succeed is to invest in supports that help them along the way. It's more effective. It's certainly cheaper than paying later when they find themselves on the wrong side of the law. We need to keep kids in school and make sure they see the pathway in front of them, the pathway to a decent life. In New York State, 42% of the inmates in prisons do not have a high school diploma. They didn't just wake up one morning and decide to drop out of school. They were on a long downward path for years. The right support at the right time might have saved them. After school programs are one such support, and a vital one, I might add. The nation needs more after school programs. Despite the growth in participation in after school, the report tells us that the number of children unsupervised in the hours after school remains high. Across the nation, 2.2 million middle school students spend time without adult supervision during the afternoon hours. In all, 11.3 million children and youth in the United States, 1 in 5, are unsupervised in the afternoon. Those unsupervised children don't stop learning when the final bell rings. Kids are always learning. The questions are, what are they learning and who's teaching them? In the afternoon, kids could be learning useful lessons in after-school programs from someone who cares about them and is committed to their education. Or they could learn destructive lessons from some guy on the street corner. And that's true for kids of all ages. Elementary, middle school, and high school age. That's the choice we have as adults, looking to shape our environment in which our children learn and grow. Parents see that, and it's why safety is one of the things that they value so much about after-school programs. More than five and six parents of children in after-school programs, 84% agree that these programs keep kids safe and out of trouble. That's not the only reason they value the program, of course. They also recognize the value of physical activity and academic support and more. I also want to note that the data from the new study tell us that the after-school programs are helping families that need the support the most. Participation in the after-school program spans income levels, ethnicity, and gender. 45% of the after-school participants are from low-income families. One in five households that qualify for federal free or reduced price lunch programs have children who participate in after-school programs. Another important piece of information is this report, is that the demand for the after-school programs is the greatest among African Americans and Hispanics and low-income families. They see the value. It's why they participate in after-school programs at a higher level, and why African Americans and Latino parents who have children who aren't in programs are most eager to find programs. In a survey, the parents of 60% of the nation's African American children who aren't in programs say they would enroll their children in after-school programs if one were available, as would parents of 57% of our Latino children. Of the 19.4 million children who would participate in after-school programs if they were available, half, nearly 10 million, are from low-income families. This report highlights the valuable resource we have in after-school programs, but it also tells us that we're underinvesting. To put it simple, we need more programs, quality after-school programs, to serve more children in our community. And as I often put it, we could pay now or we could pay later. Thank you.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Hey Frank, if you do me a favor, can you just tell me or tell us or one of your personal experiences that you've had? Because I see firsthand, for instance, out here at the Hollenbeck Center in East LA, where cops play basketball with the inner city kids, with the attending after school programs, and they coach them in boxing and create great relationships with those kids, which pays off later on also. Do you have any personal experiences with your contact with after school kids?
Absolutely. I worked 8.5 years as an undercover police officer, and so in that capacity, I've had an opportunity to go into households where people were literally selling drugs from, and you see the young people there in those households. And now, fast forward, 8.5 years beyond that, and now I see these very same young people that were inside of these households, and they're the ones that we are arresting now. They're the ones that are dealing drugs now. These children were doomed from the start because they didn't have a strong support network behind them. On the other side of that, I coached Pop Warner football, and I had a chance to interact with some of the young people that are involved in those programs. I coached girls in basketball, had an opportunity to see some of the young ladies involved in that program, and I attend every high school graduation in the city of Syracuse. And the kids that come across the stage and the hands that I shake are those who were involved in those after-school programs, that were involved in those athletic programs, not the ones that I remember in my days of narcotics. So you see both sides of it.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief Fowler. And now we'd like to open the line to all of you for your questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, press star 1. Our first question comes from Sue Frey with EdSource.
Hi. Thank you for having me today. I wanted to ask Governor Schwarzenegger, since we're a California-based news organization, what is going on these days in California in the after-school programs?
The after-school programs in California are running really well. We, as I said earlier, have a very successful, you know, after-school program here because we have this additional $500+ million through Proposition 49, which was voted by the people with 57% of the vote in 2002, and that became a reality in 2006. And first it was $428 million, and then it escalated, and now it's over $500 million. I think it's around $550 million. So this is money that other states don't have, because not every state has an initiative process and is having the same way means to get there. Because we fought here in California with the legislators for a long time, but they just never could find the money for after-school programs. So this is why we then went and did an initiative. And then both of the parties did endorse it, and that's how we got to be voted in. But we have 25% of our kids taking after-school programs and participating, but the national average is 18%. So this is a very important number. And 48% of those kids are low-income kids in California. The national average is around 30% that are low-income kids. But I mean, it's a different number. But well, I should say 30% of the kids, which is interesting in California, is kind of like where English is a second language. And more than 40%, 48% actually, is low-income kids. So it's really hitting the right people, but it's still not big enough. It's still, we need more. And I do everything that I can. You know, we have, for instance, just to show you how creative we get, OMES, we had an online fundraising, which is kind of a crowd fundraising kind of a thing. And we raised, how much did we raise? Over $1 million? $1.1 million. So what we did basically, you know, I have this tank, the M47 tank that I brought back from Austria, which I drove during my days in the military, in the Austrian military. And so we offered on OMES that I would drive people around in my tank, whoever wins this draw. And then that person can decide what we should crush with the tank. And that's exactly what we did. And we raised $1.1 million this way. So we had a poker tournament at my house, and normally I never open up my house for events like this, but I mean, but this is just such an important cause that we did it, and we raised almost $1 million. Then we did the same thing a year before, and we raised a lot of money then. So, and we have companies, I'm doing, like, for instance, designing watches for Audemars Piguet, which is a very, very prestigious watch company in Switzerland. And in return for each watch I designed for them, they give us $1 million for the after-school programs. And then they give us also a bunch of watches that we can auction off and raise additional money for that. And so, this, you know, so we try every angle possible to raise money so that we can get more after-school programs, because I'm a big believer in that. So not only for California, but for the whole nation. And it goes back again to the bottom line that I came to America, as you know, with nothing. And just with a lot of will. But, I mean, I got all my opportunities here, and I could go and walk into those doors of opportunities because I was equipped with a good background, with good education, and with good parents, and that someone there that loved me and that hugged me and made me feel important and so on. And so those are the kind of things that I want our kids here in America to have. To have someone there that is there all the time, that hugs the kids, that loves the kids, that supports the kids, that pumps them up, and that tells them that they're great, that they're going to make it, and that's what the kids need. And they need then also the education and, you know, the sports programs and the art programs and all those other kind of other things. So to get back to the California is doing extremely well, better than any other state, but we still can do much better.
This is Jody Grant. I just wanted to hop in. And so when we did this household survey, we surveyed parents from across the nation. And of all of the states in the country, California is clearly ranked number one. And that's partly because of the number of kids being served, thanks to ACEs and the governor's efforts. It's also because of the quality of these programs. 92% of the parents in California are satisfied with their programs. So, again, California is doing everything right. There's more to be done. We still have far too many kids that need access to these programs, but there's a lot to celebrate here, and it's because of the leadership that we have in the state.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Maria Beringet with Washington Post.
Hi, thank you for having me. Governor Schwarzenegger, you shared your experience about going home after school and being taken care of by your mother, but in the survey, that doesn't actually qualify as an after-school program. Did the survey capture at all how many kids were going home to their parents, and is a suggestion that kids are who are in after-school activities are better off than those who are just going home to parents or other caretakers?
Do you mind if I jump in and answer that? This is Jody Grant with the After School Alliance. The answer is it does capture that. So what we were looking at is three things in this survey. We were looking at how many students are in after-school programs, and these are comprehensive after-school programs, how many students are completely unsupervised after the school day, and then how many parents would like their child to be in an after-school program. There are some kids that their parents are keeping them involved in all sorts of enrichment activities, that are home helping them with their parents, that are doing things with them, and that's terrific. What we're really concerned about here is making sure that kids and parents who want their kids to be in high-quality after-school programs have that ability. And so when you see the numbers, when you look at that, 11-plus million kids that are unsupervised after school, that's a real problem. Now, there's parents whose kids may be with a neighbor, maybe with an older sibling, who would prefer their kids to be in an after-school program, but those kids are, in some kind of supervision. And then there's parents whose kids are doing all sorts of enrichment activities, not necessarily through an after-school program, but through something that the parent organized.
I just want to add that the original idea was always to kind of supplement and help parents where both parents are working and they're not at home when the kids get out of school. So to me, that was my main interest. When I saw that, it was scary to see that many kids floating around outside the schools and then drifting into town and all that. To me, I saw danger. And so this is why I got involved in this after-school program movement. It was mostly that I believe strongly, because of my own childhood and I have kids myself that I see firsthand that what they need after school. My wife and I, we always were there for them, going to take them to sports programs or taking them to tutoring or keeping them an extra hour in the class if they wanted to take a piano class or anything like this. So we were always on top of the situation. They were never unsupervised. And so I think that the after-school programs are there mainly for, for those that don't have anyone there in the afternoon. Now, there are, because the parents see and the teachers during the day see that how much fun the kids have and how much they look forward to after-school programs. So, of course, parents that are available would like to keep the kids sometimes extra time in the school in an after-school program. And especially I've noticed when parents feel like it's getting kind of over their head with their education, and especially in math and in some of the other areas where they don't feel like they could be helpful to their kids with the homework, they like to keep them there and do at least the homework assistance programs and the tutoring in school. So there is that element also. But the key thing is to just give kids a chance and give them the opportunity to study, to learn, and to stay in school, because I just feel that a lot of the dropout comes from not feeling adequate in school and not feeling up to par with the education. You can't do your homework. So you come in as a failure. You have to say, I didn't do my homework. Then you can ask a question. Then you can answer the question. Then you're worried about someone pointing the finger at you and say, hey, Charlie, what about you? What do you say about this? You know, tell me a little bit about this, you know, Roman history. And he has nothing to say because he never studied it. So it's kind of, it becomes frustrating for the kids then, and then they drop out. And I think that with after-school programs, you've seen that dropout rate slowing down, and that kids just basically are happy in the school, and they do better in the school, and we keep them away from the danger out there that is lurking out in the town when they drift around unsupervised.
Okay, thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Catherine Barron with Education Week.
Hi. So I have two questions. One is I'm wondering about the quality of the program. You talk about, the study talks about high-quality programs that parents would want their kids in. I'm just wondering if there's a definition of that. And the other thing I was wondering about is, you know what, I'll come back to that one. But for now, I just wanted to get a sense of, you know, what is quality care and how did you determine that?
Jen Reinhardt, I'm going to defer that question to you.
All right, great. Hi, everyone. It's Jen Reinhardt at the After School Alliance. So we, you know, all of the questions in the survey are obviously dependent on parent perspective. So this is how parents kind of view their after-school programs. But we did offer a very specific definition of what an after-school program is that really looks at a program that a child regularly attends that provides a supervised, enriching environment in the hours after the school day ends. We talk about how these programs are usually offered in schools or community centers, and they're different from individual activities like sports or special lessons or hobby clubs. We further then go on to ask questions specific parents about satisfaction with their after-school programs. So overall satisfaction is a component of that, but we looked at aspects of satisfaction that we see are related to quality, so in the research base. Aspects that are related to quality are things like, you know, safety, obviously, but also knowledgeable and well-trained staff, and does the program offer a variety of activities? And we see high levels of satisfaction in many of those areas, and in fact, we see increasing levels of satisfaction from the previous rounds of the survey. So while this is all parent perspective, we're definitely seeing increasing levels of satisfaction with quality aspects of after-school programs in this round of the survey.
I think when we did Proposition 49 in 2002, we made it very clear that it has to have an academic component, and we qualified that as kind of tutoring and homework assistance. That is absolutely crucial. Then also a sports and fitness component, which has always been the thing that makes kids want to be in an after-school program, because then they can go and play soccer or play football or whatever sport that they're into, whatever school it is. It changes from school to school. But you always have them first do the academic work. And also the arts. The arts programs are also extremely important. And a good comprehensive after-school program should have also arts programs, if it is dance, if it's music, if it's painting and the drawing and so on. All of those things are very, very enriching. And so this is the way the 3 hours should be kind of organized. It's the academic work and art and then physical fitness and sports activities.
So one other question.
And we always say 5 days a week, I mean, from Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm. Did the survey ask about whether parents were getting subsidized care or were they paying full price? Did you kind of get a breakdown on that?
So the survey does ask about that. I'm looking for the exact numbers right now myself, but the most of the parents that responded to the survey pay for their after-school program. So it's about a quarter of the parents who responded that say that their after-school program is offered at no cost to them. And then we also had a group of parents who receive subsidized
And I'm just looking for that right now. Sorry, I don't have it right at my fingertips. So let's see. So 20% of the parents with kids in after-school programs indicated that they received government assistance with the cost of their after-school programs.
And this is Jody. That's consistent with research we've done before, too, where we did something called the Roadmap to After School for All. And what we found is that, you know, 76% of all the funding going into after school is coming from parent fees, which is a real problem for the parents that can't afford it.
And we do see increasing costs, you know, with after school programs over the course of the survey. So from 2004 to 2014, the cost that parents are paying has increased significantly over those years. So it was about $55 in 2014 dollars in 2004, and it's up to over $100 today per week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Shannon Quinn with Moscow Pullman Daily News. Shannon, your line is open.
Thank you. Governor Schwarzenegger, I was wondering if in California with the programs that you had worked with, was the AmeriCorps program participating in any way? And do you think that perhaps an expansion of that program could help in other states?
Can you ask a question again? I didn't get the last part of your question.
Oh, sure. There's the AmeriCorps program that will do a lot of after-school activities, and I wondered if they participated at all in any of the California programs, and whether you think that an expansion of the program would be beneficial to creating more programs in other states.
Oh, yeah. First of all, yes, it is beneficial to create more programs after in other states. And AmeriCorps, yeah, I'm sure they receive money because they are an official after-school program, and they comply with all the various different, stipulations that are required in order to get that money. But they are, you know, a very good program, and then we hope that they expand and that we all expand, because as I said earlier, that there's 10 million people, 10 million kids that are getting after-school programs right now, but there's 20 million that really want to have after-school programs and can't get them because they don't have the money to pay for it, or they don't have a school where they have them that they have.
Yes, and it seems to me that the tutors that are involved in that program as well, that has to be beneficial for them since they begin at about age 18. It's probably just as good for them to stay out of that kind of trouble as the kids they're working with.
That's right. You're absolutely correct.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Frank Wolf with Education Daily.
Yeah, I just wondered, given sort of the stated need to increase the number of after-school programs, what do you think is sort of the key for doing that, and do you see any resistance to whatever solutions you have in that regard?
Well, I mean, you know, just to keep the money, to keep the $1.139 billion is the same amount that after school programs got on the federal level last year, and is getting it this year. This money hasn't been increased, for years. So of course it should be increased, but it's easier said than done because, as you know, that the federal government is at the same time also fighting the problem of living beyond its means. And so they spend money every year, approximately $1 trillion more than we take in. So now everyone, of course, is screaming and saying, we want more money, we want more money. And they have to say, no, we can't have more because we have to start cutting back. So we understand that. But in the meantime, I think the states can also pick up the slack like we have done in California, you know. So I think that the important thing is that other states that have an initiative process go out there with an initiative and ask directly the people, because the people are very clearly in favor of after-school programs. We've seen it in California in 2002 when we had a financial crisis. Even during that time, and everyone said to me, Arnold, this would never fly, this would never pass, it passed by 57% of the votes. So I think that other states have to do the same thing, and then we have to work the legislators in other states in order to up the money, because it's only a question of money. Schools would love to have after-school programs, but they just don't have the money. They're struggling the way it is right now. I mean, you know, when you look at the school system, I mean, the parents are being asked, you know, to give them money for pencils and papers. They have to give money for cleaning the classroom and all this stuff. So those are the kind of things that's going on right now in the schools because, you know, a lot of that money goes to the adults that work in the schools, but doesn't always necessarily go to the kids.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Gary Gately with Youth Today.
Hi, how you doing? You asked a question I was about to ask. How much more money would be necessary to meet this demand? It seems like you have overwhelming demand and an incredible shortage of funds, not only at the state level, federal level, but the state, corporate, philanthropic, whatever the store.
Well, I mean, I don't know if Jody has a number, but I would say it would need at least $5 billion more money in order to really go and to provide after-school programs for all those kids and to have matching funds from parents. You know, it shouldn't be just a one-way street where just the public sector takes care of it. I think the parents should come in with matching funds and the state should come in with matching funds. But I think if you have that amount kind of money, then you can provide after-school programs for everybody. And it is just, I think that basically we are releasing this study and we are doing this, you know, kind of press event here to bring, you know, kind of the spotlight on this issue amongst all the other things that's going on in the United States. You can imagine that, you know, people hear so many different challenges that are out there when you turn on television, but we also want to let them know and remind them that our kids are the most important thing, really, and they should not forget that while they're looking at all the other challenges that are out there, that we want everyone to be part of that crusade for after-school programs, and we want to challenge everyone to join us and to really kind of let your voice be heard with your state legislators, with your local leaders, and also with Washington. Always let your voice be heard because remember, the squeaky wheels get the grease. The squeaky wheels get the grease is the saying. And this is exactly what this is. So the more noise you make and the more you squeak, the more you get the grease. So just remember, everyone out there should remember that. We got to make the noise. We got to go and get attention because we need more after-school programs.
And I'm going to add, this is Jody, you know, back years and years ago when No Child Left Behind was enacted with bipartisan support, the goal for 21st century was $2.5 billion by 2007. We're not even at half of that. And the reality is that these are tight times, but if we all pull together, this is an investment that you get a huge bang for your buck, really leveraging all sorts of resources. So if you look at the size of the federal budget, even there we can do more. The other thing we really need to focus on, and I know, Frank Wolf, this addresses some of your question, is to make sure that the money that we are using today for after-school programs and summer programs continues to go to after-school and summer programs, because the research is absolutely evident, the stories are clear and so poignant that these programs are changing lives and making a difference.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jessica Piccini with the Legislative Gazette.
Hi. So my question is, so you kept pointing to, like, keeping kids off the streets, keeping them away from crime. So let's say that there's kids who are older who might already be involved in, like, negative activities. How are you going to draw them in to staying after school for 3 hours it might be seen as kind of cumbersome for them. So if there's no proper oversight, they might just opt to say that they're going to the programs and then just skip out and do whatever it is that they want to do.
Well, first, maybe Frank can answer that question, since he's really, the guy that is working with a lot of after-school program kids, and he is with law enforcement, so he can answer that question for you.
Yeah, nothing that we deal with or nothing that we come up with is absolutely perfect. If you think long and hard enough, you can find some flaws in it. However, in response to your question, I think that most of those children will go to those programs because kids want to feel safe. They want structure. If it's there, they're going to migrate toward it, and most of their peers will be in these programs also. So they want to socialize with people that they're familiar with. These will be the same young people that they attend school with. So they will have the urge to show up there to begin with. And keep in mind, we're going to have adults in these young people's lives. The people in the after-school programs, they're going to be smart enough to know if they have a troubled young person that needs to be watched a little bit closer, that needs to be prodded a little bit more to make sure that they're getting to the programs each and every day and that they're getting there on time and that they don't become distracted along the way.
Well, I mean, Frank is absolutely correct, and this I just wanted to hear it from you, Frank, but I have observed the same thing out here in Los Angeles, and especially in East L.A., where we have the Hollenbeck Youth Center that Danny Hernandez is leading, and they have the Hollenbeck Police Force there, totally connected with that center, and they bring kids that are problem kids that they have arrested and they have gotten already into trouble. They bring them to that Hollenbeck Youth Center, and they have them join the after-school programs there in the center. And there they go and they work out. They have a huge weight room there. They do boxing. They play basketball, even with the officers, like I said. They are becoming kind of their mentors and coaches. And then they have a giant computer room where they do all their homework and where they get assistance and tutoring and all this. So they have everything there, and the kids stay there. They don't go out anymore and get into trouble. Very rarely does a kid get outside after this after-school program and get back into trouble. Kids get into trouble not because they get up in the morning and say, today I want to make trouble. Kids get into trouble because they don't have the adult supervision. I remember when I grew up and I was not supervised, I got into trouble a lot of times. It's just because you start wandering around, and that's what kids do. And so I think that we need to supervise our kids and to help them, guide them, mentor them, and then we will have less problems like that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our final question comes from Sue Frey with Edsworth.
I just wanted to ask Governor Schwarzenegger, now that the funding system has changed in California and school districts have more control over their funds, is there going to be any effort on your part or anyone else's part to encourage districts to put more funding into after-school programs?
If we want to put more money in California, we can always do an initiative or go to the legislators and say, hey, put more money into the after-school programs. I doubt it will happen on a local level. I mean, let me tell you, they're all scrambling. I can tell you firsthand that I have kids in school and I have my nephew's kids in school, and they all are scrambling. They can't make ends meet. They don't even have money sometimes for the most basic things, like cleaning the classroom or the school or having things, money for the books. Or for homework materials and stuff like that. So they're asking the parents to come in and to pay. So I cannot imagine they will all of a sudden have enough money for more after-school programs or anything like that. I think they all want to have more after-school programs. It's very clear every school that I visit, they want to have more after-school programs. They want to have more kids in those programs enrolled, but they don't have the money. So money is clearly a problem, and this is why, like I said, we do a lot of fundraising ourselves, but that only goes so far. I think eventually we need from the federal government more money, and maybe from the state more money. But like California, I'm actually very happy the way we are doing it here in California, because like I said, we have 25% of the kids enrolled, and the key thing is to have our middle school kids enrolled, because if the middle school kids are enrolled, then we are really helping those kids not from dropping out when they get to be in 10th grade or so, because they are prepared and they are smarter, they are, you know, they've done better in school already, so there's less of a dropout rate amongst those kids.
Thank you.
I'd like to add something to that. We can't afford not to invest in these after-school programs. We're going to spend money on these young people one way or another. We could spend it up front in these after-school programs. We can, by providing them with the resources that they need to become successful adults. Or we can lead them to the streets or to whatever environment they're trying to navigate their way through, and they could fall prey to those environments, and they're going to end up in our prison system, and we're going to spend money on them that way. We have an obligation to our young people to help them to become successful citizens, and therefore I think we have no choice but to invest in them.
Frank is absolutely right. I mean, that's the bottom line, and that, as Governor sat there and I saw with our enormous expenses were with the juvenile system and with our prison system, and it's all because we don't take care of our kids enough, and we don't supervise them enough, we don't educate them enough. So you're absolutely right, Frank, that if we take care of them now, we will not spend the kind of money down the line. In one way or the other, we will spend. Is it less, or is it going to be more? That's really the question.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Terrific. So before we close out, I just wanted to, you know, ask our wonderful speakers if you have any last thoughts or comments that you want to add.
Frank?
Sure. I would like to thank you all for inviting me to be a part of this. I'm a firm believer that this is extremely important. And in law enforcement, we're part of government, and money is disappearing. Resources are disappearing. Police agencies are getting smaller than they've ever been in my 26-year career. And law enforcement has to think new, innovative ways, thinking outside the box, as it's often put, to multiply their forces. And the best way that we can do this is by getting out in front of this issue of crime, violence, poverty, or whatever else affects our community. And the greatest way to do that is to invest in our young people, because they clearly are our future, and they're the greatest commodity of this American society, and everyone should dedicate every ounce of attention and resource that they can, that they're in control of, to our young people. And it makes this thing real simple.
I just want to add that I have, you know, gotten all the opportunities here in America because I had this kind of an upbringing and I had the kind of education when I grew up in Austria, and I want every kid to have the same opportunities that I had when I came to America, because America is the greatest country in the world, and there's no two ways about it. It is also truly the land of opportunity, but you've got to go and be smart. You got to go and be willing to work and have a vision of where you want to go. If you don't have that, you're not going to make it. And so we want to equip the kids with that. We want to equip the kids to get them ready for, you know, to be educated, to be ready to go to college or to go to career educational schools, whatever they are into, find out exactly what their goal is, mentor them, and really guide them in the right direction so they really can become successful and be another success story here in America. And for that, we need to put the work in it. So I think that we have, that's why I want to rally everyone up and say to everyone, join us and help us in moving this agenda forward and helping those kids.
And I think that's a perfect note to end on. So once again, this is Jody Grant. Thank you all for joining us. There is a lot more detail about our report and the data from all 50 states. It's live and available now at www.afterschoolalliance.org. Thank you.